ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नश्यप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं तदाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Description of the mystic yoga perfections. So Krishna has been describing the yoga system in response to Uddhava's question in the last chapter. The last chapter Krishna explained the excellence of Bhakti Yoga, the first 30 verses. And then the 31st verse, Uddhava asked a question about what process should a person desire, or should a person follow who is desiring liberation. What process of meditation he should actually follow, and in what form such a person should actually meditate upon you. So Uddhava asked a question about the process of meditation, Dhyana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga. What process of meditation one should undertake, and also and which form of the Lord a person should meditate upon. Then Krishna, in response to that Uddhava's question, he explained the Ashtanga Yoga process in the last chapter. And then Krishna concluded by saying, Dhyane netam sutivrena yunjato yogino manaha samyasyat ashu nirvana dravya jnana kriya brahmaha. When the yogi thus controls his mind by intensely concentrated meditation, his illusory identification with material objects, knowledge and activities is very quickly extinguished. So in that sense Krishna is actually explained how at a certain point a person should also give up the conception of being the meditator. That means what does he say is that at a certain point one has to be situated in the state of being an eternal servant of the Lord. One may undergo the process of meditation, but at a certain point one has to give up the process of meditation, one has to be situated in the platform of being an eternal servant of the Lord. So that that's explained in that the 44th verse purport last section. And then Krishna concludes this section by saying, when a person comes to the last stage of meditation, this Ashtanga Yoga, when a person's mind is intensely concentrated through meditation, then he gives up the illusory identification with these three things, Dravya, Jnana and Kriya. One gives up the illusory identification with the matter, that means the possessiveness towards the matter, and Jnana means one also, Dravya also means one also gives up the identification with the sense devatas, the demigods who are controlling the different senses. Means like in a material platform, sometimes a person may consider as different demigods to be the all-in-all. But when a person comes to the perfection of this yoga system, a person actually understands the real position of the sense devatas. And he actually gives up the conception that the demigods who control the senses are the Supreme Lord. He becomes very clear of that. Even the mighty sun, which displays immense potencies, obediently treats its universal path by the order of Lord Krishna. Which a person understands the position of the demigods like subordinate to Krishna. He sees that very clearly. Dravya Jnana Kriya. Kriya means a person gives up the attachment towards all the other processes, either Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga or Karma Yoga or different this thing. A person becomes only situated in devotional service. And Dravya Jnana Kriya. Jnana also means Jnana means a person he no longer is attached to the different knowledge which helped him to come out of the bodily concept of life. Like previously we discussed that how a person may adopt the process of jnana in order to give the bodily concept of life, but then after that knowledge by which a person distinguishes between matter and spirit, that knowledge is no longer useful, because when a person is actually attracted towards the higher knowledge of the nature of the Supreme Lord. So, Dravya, Jnana, Kriya, Brahmaha. One gives up the illusory identification with these three things. So, now we will go to this chapter, 15th chapter. So, for this chapter, it may seem a little technical, but the main theme of the chapter, we'll try to address that. Basically, this chapter, in essence, what it contains is that Krishna talks about the different yogic powers. There are 8 primary siddhis and 10 secondary siddhis. And then he also talks about 5 siddhis, mystic perfections, which are actually inferior to that secondary siddhis also. So he gives the list of them in response to the question asked by Uddhava. And then Krishna also explains how to attain each of these siddhis, the 8 primary siddhis, 10 secondary siddhis, and the 5 inferior siddhis. And then he gives the conclusion at the end. So that is the most important thing. So we will begin this chapter. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Jitendriyasya Yuktasya, Jitashvasasya Yoginah, Mayi Dharayatascheta, Upatishtanti Siddhayah.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Uddhava, the mystic perfection of yoga are acquired by yogi who has conquered his senses, steadies his mind, conquered the breathing process and fixed his mind on me.
So, Krishna is continuing from the previous chapter's actually description, and he says in this verse, who can actually acquire the siddhis, the mystic siddhis? He's mentioning actually 4 points. Jitendriyasya, one who has controlled the senses. Yuktasya, one who has controlled the mind. Jitashvasasya, one who has conquered the breathing process. And Mayi Dharayatascheta, one who has fixed his mind upon me. So, Vishnu Chakradhakar mentions an important point. You have to remember this point, even if you don't remember how we obtain the mystic siddhis, but this is an important point. So, Vishnu Chakradhakar says, the siddhis in this chapter describes the 8 major siddhis, 10 secondary siddhis, 10 secondary siddhis and how to obtain them. And he says, these siddhis are described in order to show that one should reject them and concentrate on the Supreme Lord. These siddhis, mystic siddhis, are described in order to show that one should reject them and concentrate on the Supreme Lord. So that is the purpose of describing all these siddhis in detail. Because Krishna will explain at the end of the chapter how all these siddhis are considered as obstacles. So now Uddhava is asking a question in the second chapter. He asks 3 questions. He asks how to achieve all these siddhis, and what is the nature of these siddhis, and thirdly, how many siddhis are present? How to achieve mystic powers, what is the nature of mystic powers, and how many mystic powers are present? That is Uddhava's question in the second verse. The third verse. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Siddhayo Ashtadasha Prokta,
Siddhayo Ashtadasha Prokta,
Dharana Yoga Paragai,
Dharana Yoga Paragai,
Tasam Ashtau Mat Pradana,
Tasam Ashtau Mat Pradana,
Dashaiva Guna Hetavaha.
The masters of the yoga system have declared that there are 18 types of mystic perfection and meditation, of which 8 are primary, having their shelter in me, and 10 are secondary and appearing from the material mode of goodness.
So 8 are primary, 8 primary siddhis arise from Krishna's Swarupa Shakti and 10 secondary siddhis arise from mode of goodness, Sattva Guna. So there are 8 primary mystic siddhis and 10 secondary mystic siddhis. So, as explained here, Krishna is naturally the shelter of 8 primary mystic potencies and meditations because such potencies emanate from Krishna's Swarupa Shakti. And all these mystic siddhis are fully developed only within the Lord Himself and His associates. So, and then Hridayananda Maharaj explains, but sometimes in this world we may see some people having some mystic perfections. So he says, when materialistic people, when they possess certain potencies, when they mechanically acquire certain mystic potencies, those perfections are awarded, the perfections which are awarded are of an inferior degree and are considered to be manifestations of Maya. So the original mystic powers, the 8 mystic powers are arising from Krishna Swarupa Shakti and 10 are arising from mode of goodness, the secondary ones. But many of the materialistic people who possess, most of the people whom we see in Kali Yuga, they may possess certain mystic powers as a result. They are actually of inferior nature, they are actually manifestations of Maya. And then the third point is that a pure devotee of the Lord automatically receives from the Lord wonderful potencies to execute his devotional service. If you see, there's one famous verse which is often quoted, I think comes this chapter also. Prabhupada quotes that, Bilwa Mangal Thakur's verse, Muktir Mukulitanjali Seveyasman, it comes. A person becomes a devotee of the Lord, even liberation, Mukti Devi and all the other mystic siddhis, the personification of mystic siddhi are actually waiting at the doorstep to serve the devotee. So like that. So here, then Hridayananda Maharaj explains, if for sense gratification one mechanically endeavors to acquire mystic perfections, then these perfections are certainly considered to be inferior expansions of the Lord's external potency. Means like, you see, one of the constant, the how to acquire the mystic siddhis is described in this chapter, but every verse it is explained that one has to meditate on the Supreme Lord, one has to meditate on certain aspect of the Lord. One has to fix the mind on certain aspect of the Lord to get different mystic siddhis. But when a person tries to acquire the mystic siddhis mechanically, without trying to meditate on the Supreme Lord, then whatever a person gets, they are only inferior expansions of Lord's Maya potency. So that is another point. So now the what are the 8 mystic siddhis? That is explained in the 4th and 5th verse. Anima mahima murteer lagima praptir indriyai prakamyam shruta drishteshu shakti preranam ishita guneshvasango vashita yat kamastat avasyati yeta me siddhaya saumya ashtav autpatti kamata.
Among the 8 primary mystic perfections, the 3 by which one transforms one's own body are anima, becoming smaller than the smallest, mahima, becoming greater than the greatest, and lagima, becoming lighter than the lightest. Through the perfection of prapti, one acquires whatever one desires, and through prakamya siddhi, one experiences any enjoyable object, either in this world or the next. through Ishita Siddhi, one can manipulate the sub-potencies of Maya, and through the controlling potency called Vashita Siddhi, one is unimpeded by the three modes of nature. One who has acquired Kamya Vasarita Siddhi can obtain anything from anywhere to the highest possible limit. My dear gentle Uddhava, these eight mystic perfections are considered to be naturally existing and unexcelled within this world.
So he is giving the eight primary siddhis. Anima is becoming smaller than the smallest. One can become so small that one can enter a stone or pass through any obstacle. And Lagima is, like, all these appear very fascinating actually. They appear, they become attracted to. And Mahima Siddhi is like one becomes so great that one covers everything. Like Hanumanji sometimes assumes a huge size, like we hear. And Lagima is one becomes so light that one can ride on the sun's rays into the sun planet. And Prapti Siddhi means to attain all the desired objects by using all one's senses. Or one can acquire anything from anywhere and can even touch the moon with one's finger. It is Prapti Siddhi. And by this mystic perfection, one can also enter into the senses of any other living entity through the predominating deities of the particular senses. And in this way, by utilizing the senses of others, one can actually acquire anything. That is Prapti Siddhi. And Prakamya means the ability to see and enjoy all objects hidden in the earth, which may have been seen or not seen. Prakanyam Shruta Drishteshu. We can see or enjoy any objects hidden in the earth. Or one can enjoy any, one can experience any enjoyable object in this world or in the next world. And Ishita means basically spreading one's power over others or trying to manipulate the sub-potencies of Maya. Sub-potencies, not the primary potencies, sub-potencies of Maya, which are material. So Hridayan Maharaj explains, even by acquiring mystic powers, one cannot pass beyond the illusion. One of the later purport he explains, by acquiring mystic powers, if a person tries to defy the laws of the Supreme Lord, even that mystic yogi will be punished by Lord. One cannot go beyond the laws of Lord. And here also it is explained that one cannot pass beyond the control of illusion. One can only manipulate the sub-potencies of illusion. One cannot go beyond the control of illusion. And Vashita means being attached to material enjoyment, or Vashita means like a person becomes unimpeded by the three modes. Or it can also mean that one can bring others under one's dominion. One can bring others under one's dominion. And sixth is Kama Vasayita. That means obtaining whatever a person may desire. Means like through Kama Vasayita a person acquires maximum powers of control, acquisition and enjoyment. And finally Krishna says, Autpatika Mata. All these are actually, they are natural and unexcelled in me. So Kama Vasayita is the eighth one. Anima, Mahima, Lagima, the first three. And the other, Anima, Lagima, Mahima are powers concerning the body. And other things are concerning different other things. So there are eight primary siddhis. So one of the 64 qualities of Krishna in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is mentioned is that Sarva Siddhi Nishevitai. 55th quality which is mentioned about Krishna. Sarva Siddhi Nishevita. That means he who controls all mystic powers is called Sarva Siddhi Nishevita. In fact, Rupa Goswami quotes a verse. He says that the 8 mystic siddhis, which are served by 10 secondary siddhis, do not have the opportunity to enter the door of Krishna's palace. It means, like, from the point of view of Krishna, these are actually much more insignificant. Like, we may become very enamored by that. And, like, for example, I think, so, there's one class our Rohini Priya Prabhu was mentioning. You know that you are saying, in the case of mystic siddhis, like, even if suppose you're a devotee, pure devotee, may possess certain mystic siddhi, but a devotees do not use mystic siddhis because they do not want to impress people for wrong reasons. Sometimes if we use mystic siddhis, people may become impressed, but then they may become impressed for wrong reasons, like they may become more interested in, like, how to get that than actually. So some rare occasions the devotees may use it. But they don't, in general, even if they possess certain mystic siddhis, they do not actually use that because they don't want to impress people for wrong reasons. And sometimes pure devotees are not even aware that they possess mystic powers. They are not even aware that they possess mystic powers because they are actually absorbed in something higher. So especially when we talk about mystic powers, there is one beautiful purport. Today, I'll try to discuss this topic of mystic powers from different sections of the Bhagavatam. There's one section in which Prabhupada actually talks about what is the mystic power which is superior even to the mystic siddhis. What is the special power in a devotee which is actually superior even to the mystic siddhis? So he says, in the episode of Prithu Maharaj, when the 4 Kumaras arrive in the assembly of Prithu Maharaj, there's a verse which says that Tamstu Siddheshwaran Raja Vyomno Avatarato Archisha Lokan Apapan Kurvanan Sanugo Achashta Lakshitan. So when the 4 Kumaras arrived, it is described that seeing the effulgence of the 4 Kumaras who are here addressed by the word Siddheshwaran, the masters of mystic power. Seeing the effulgence of the 4 Kumaras, the masters of mystic power, the king and his associates could recognize them as they descended from the sky. So Prabhupada explains that 4 Kumaras are definitely, they are spacemen who can actually travel without the machines because they possess the mystic powers. They were from the planet of Siddha Loka. But however, the special power of the 4 Kumaras, which is mentioned here, is that Lokan Apapan, that means whichever place they would visit, that place would become sinless. That is the special power of the 4 Kumaras. Does anybody remember any Prabhupada pastime in connection to this?
Person who came dancing in the
hall.
The disciple said that he is
of Prabhupada
displaying mystic powers.
Especially in connection to this. Or the special power of the pure devotees, they make the place sinless, or they make the sinful people into sinless people. Yeah, we can say. Some temples, crematorium was converted into a temple. And there was one temple, it was a laundromat. It was converted into a temple. In fact, Maharaj was explaining in one class that crematorium, this one, some place in America, the place where they would actually they used to actually examine the dead body, that place became an altar. Of course, that is one thing. But you remember this famous statement that Prabhupada, somebody asked, like, what miracles have you performed? What did Prabhupada say? I made hippies into happies. As a special mystic power. Yeah. You wanted to say something?
No.
Same thing. Oh, okay.
Maharaj also this dustbin over there, and then he converted this into Vrindavan
garden.
In fact, this kitchen also. This kitchen was actually.
Previously a toilet, actually. Anyway, it's not the ideally speaking. Try to, when we construct a temple, we see the vastu, where to have these things, etc. But sometimes we use the best use of the bad bargain, try to purify and then do that. So, but this is the special mystic power of the devotees, which Prabhupada explains that. So, and then in the purport, Prabhupada explains how Krishna possesses all these 8 siddhis. He says that Krishna becomes so small that he enters within the atomic particles, and he becomes so large that as Mahavishnu he breathes out millions of universes, and he can become so light or subtle that even great mystic yogis cannot perceive him. And his Lord's acquisitive power is perfect because he keeps the total existence eternally within his body. And the 5th is that the Lord can certainly enjoy whatever he likes. And 6th power is that he can control all energies. 7th is he can dominate all other persons. And 8th is he can exhibit complete omnipotency. He is explaining how Krishna possesses all these 8 potencies naturally. So, yeah, next verse, you can read the translation of the next verse. Next verse, Krishna lists the 8 secondary mystic siddhis.
10 secondary mystic perfections arising from the modes of nature are the powers of seeing one, freeing oneself from hunger and thirst and other bodily disturbances, hearing and seeing things far away, moving the body at the speed of mind, assuming any form one desires, entering the bodies of others, dying when one desires, witnessing the pastimes between the demigods and the celestial gods, girls called apsaras, completely executing one's determination and giving orders whose fulfillment is unimpeded.
So, anurmitatvam, anurmipatvam, dehesmin, that means like, to be freed from the 6 waves of, what are the 6 waves of the human body? Hunger, thirst,
lamentation.
That is one classification of 6 urges. But here especially 6 disturbances like hunger and thirst. Yeah, that is one is vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, that is one. But another classification which is explained is that 6 urges are hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, and old age and death. Or another classification, the 6 anarthas.
The urges.
Old age and death urges.
6 disturbances. 6 disturbances, yeah. 6 disturbances. Like there is a verse in the Privrat Maharaj section which comes that Naivam vidha purushakara urukramasya chitram vidura vigata sakrata adhavita. There it comes like simply by Naivam vidha purushakara urukramasya chitram vidura vigata sakrata adhavita. Simply remembering the Supreme Lord, simply by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Even a person who is below the Shudra, he can become freed from all these 6 disturbances. Hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, and old age and death. These are the 6 disturbances which are described in that verse. But 6 disturbances, 6 urges, we can say vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam. And also the six anarthas, lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion, right? So anurmitatva, here it especially means six disturbances like hunger, thirst, and other things are lamentation, illusion, old age and death. Dura shravana darshana, able to see and hear events which are actually at a distant place. Manojavas, actually going at the speed of mind. Kama rupam, obtaining whatever a person wants. Taking a form, whatever he likes, whatever one should own, even being able to take any form a person likes. Parakaya praveshanam, entering somebody else's body and then trying to control that. Swachanda mrityu, who exhibited this power?
Bhishma
Dev, dying at one's will. Yeah, we will discuss that. Yeah. He also accepted that mystic power.
Actually, he meditated to bring death closer.
At the last stage, the mystic siddhis approached him and he accepted this mystic siddhi of dying at one's will.
Shortened
his lifespan. And next is very interesting. Saha kridanu darshanam, devanam saha kridanu darshanam. Like, see, wanting to see the affairs of the demigods and the apsara girls. Like, people have some desires of what goes on in the celebrity circle, what is their affair like. So, this is something like in the heavenly, this one. Yata sankalpa samsiddhir. Means, like, whatever a person desires, being able to attain that. And agya aprati hatagatihi. So like whatever a person orders, it should be fulfilled without any impediment. Having one's commands unimpeded. So now from the 8th verse onwards, the 8th and 9th verse, Krishna gives 5 inferior siddhis. So 8 primary, 10 secondary and 5 inferior. You can read that also. First is Trikalagyatvam. Trikalagyatvam means, what is the meaning?
Knowing the past, present and future.
Adwandvam, being unaffected by dualities like heat and cold. Parachittadi abhijnata. Parachitta, chitta means
mind.
Parachitta means others' mind. Abhijnata, being able to, having the ability to know others' mind. Agni arkambu vishadinam, means like not being unaffected by agni, water, agni, fire, water, ambu means
water,
arka is sun. So that means like, or visha is poison. Means like, Madhvacharya says that a person having getting such a body which will not be destroyed by any of the weapons made of fire, water, the body will not be destroyed even by consuming poison. That is Agni Arkambu Vishadina. They mentioned that if devotees may possess this power, they will not even be aware of that. I think one of the places they explained that, like, Prahlad Maharaj, he possessed this power. He was not even aware of this. But when Hiranyakashipu tried to attack him, Prahlad Maharaj was protected from by Narasingadev in so many instances. Even once Ramanujacharya went to take darshan of Ranganath, but the priest was so envious and he actually gave the most deadly poison in the Charanamrita to Ramanujacharya.
Bhim
was also. But Ramanujacharya drank that Charanamrit, but nothing happened to him.
Mirabai
story. So many stories. So Agni Arkambu, this is the fourth one. The fifth is Pratishtambu Parajaya. Pratishtambu Aparajaya, not being conquered by others, being remaining unconquered by others. So now, from the 10th verse onwards, Krishna explains how to obtain the different mystic siddhis.
So 10 to 17, in 8 verses, he explains how to obtain the 8 primary mystic siddhis. As I mentioned, if you see the translation, appear to be a little difficult to remember. But the principle, the underlying thread in all the verses is that, the principle is that you meditate on certain quality of the Lord. The principle is that you get the quality of the person whom you serve. Or you get the quality of when you meditate on certain aspect of the Lord, you get that particular quality of the Lord. So in order to get, say, anima siddhi, it is described that one should meditate on Krishna who represents all the tanmatras. Tanmatras are, which senses? Tanmatras are basically, sense objects, isn't it? So one should, if a worshipper of tanmatras should concentrate the mind, the form of the tanmatras, on me who represent the tanmatras. So the underlying principle is that you meditate on a particular aspect of the Lord, and when you meditate on that particular aspect, Krishna shares that opulence to you. So the quality of Krishna is that, like, simply by meditating on certain aspect of Krishna, so Krishna shares that particular quality to you. Like in this world, if you meditate on, say, the wealth of Ambani, you are not going to actually share that wealth.
You become Ambani.
Not going to. But in the case of Krishna, you meditate on certain quality of Krishna, he actually shares that mystic siddhi. So I will just summarize this thing, and then I want to discuss this in a more practical level, this chapter. So in the 10th verse, Krishna says, to get anima siddhi, one should meditate on Krishna who represents the tanmatras. Tanmatras. Or it's explained that, or Hridayan Maharaj gives a more practical translation. One who worships me in my atomic form, pervading all subtle elements. Anima siddhi means becoming smaller than the smallest. Krishna is called as Anur Aniyamsam, Anusmaretya. One is smaller than the smallest. So meditate, one who worships me in my atomic form, pervading all subtle elements, fixing his mind on that alone, obtains a mystic siddhi called as anima. And for Mahima Siddhi, meditate on Krishna represented by Mahat Tattva. Meditate on the all-pervading aspect of the Lord. One who absorbs his mind in the particular form of the Mahat Tattva and thus meditates upon me as the supreme soul of all total material existence achieves the mystic perfection called Mahima. So like that. So and of course, Hridayan Maharaj gives a many devotional purport. He explains that pure devotees are not interested in such mystic perfections. And the ultimate samsiddhi, the ultimate perfection which they want is that, the supreme perfection is that, the pure love of Krishna. That is the supreme perfection which the pure devotees desire, samsiddhi. And then to obtain lagima siddhi, meditate on Krishna as the atoms of matter. That's what Vishnu Chakotaku says. Paramanu maye chittam bhutanam mayi ranjayan. Meditate on Krishna as the atoms of matter. So I exist within everything, and I am therefore the essence of the atomic constituents of the material elements. By attaching his mind to me in this form, Dogi may achieve the perfection called Lagima. The 13th verse, you can read 13th. How to obtain Prapti Siddhi.
Fixing his mind completely in me, it is the element of all siddha, generated from the mode of goodness. The Yogi obtains the power of mystic acquisition, by which he becomes the proprietor of the senses of all living entities. He obtains such perfection because his mind is absorbed in me.
So here is explained, one should meditate on Krishna, who is represented by false ego in mode of goodness. There is false ego in mode of goodness, passion, ignorance. One should meditate on Krishna, represented by false ego in sattva guna, to get prapti siddhi. So Vishnu Chakravarti explains that what will happen to those people who do not fix their mind on Krishna? So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that such people, they acquire a gross and inferior reflection of each mystic potency. They only get some reflection of the mystic potency. And second is that those who are not conscious of the Lord cannot actually synchronize their minds perfectly with the universal functions, and therefore cannot elevate their mystic opulences to the universal platform. They may not be able to obtain anything from any universe, from the universal platform. They may be able to get some mystic power from maybe from another village or
local,
a very local mystic. And the 14th verse, how to get prakamya siddhi, meditate on Krishna as a super soul of that phase of Mahat Tattva which manifests the chain of fruitive activities. It's technical. Meditate on Krishna, the super soul of that phase of Mahat Tattva which manifests the chain of fruitive activities. By this, a person can get the prakamya siddhi. So here again, another beautiful point which is explained is that unless a person, like, to get one thing we can see common is that to get this mystic siddhis, one has to accept the transcendental form of the Lord. Unless a person accepts the transcendental form of the Supreme Lord, there is no possibility of obtaining prakamya or any other genuine mystic perfection. 15th verse, read the 15th verse. How to get Ishita Siddhi?
One who places his consciousness on Vishnu, the super soul, the prime mover and supreme lord of the external energy, consisting of three modes, obtains the mystic perfection of controlling other conditioned souls, their material bodies and their bodily executions.
So here, one should meditate on Krishna as the lord of external energy. The lord of external energy, which is consisting of the three modes. So, you know, if you do that, then a person gets Ishita Siddhi. So here it's explained that a person's controlling power can never disturb the plan of Krishna. A person is only allowed to exhibit certain mystic power within the confines of the law of God. If a person tries to go against the laws of God, one will be punished, just like Durvasamani was punished by Ambarish, the Lord Vishnu. The 16th verse describes how to obtain Vashita Siddhi, that is freedom from three modes. How to obtain that? By meditating on Lord Narayan, who is called as Turiya. You remember we discussed this, what is called as Turiya previously? The fourth state. What are the other three states?
Wakefulness,
dream, and third is deep sleep. Yeah. Fourth is a Turiya. So when you meditate on Lord Narayan, who is called as Turiya, a person can actually get freedom from three modes. And then the 17th verse, how to get Kama Vasayita Siddhi. So for that, a person should meditate on Krishna as the impersonal Brahman. Krishna as impersonal Brahman.
This seems to be a contradiction. One fixes on impersonal. That is one. Second is, all what they are describing, unless and until he goes to a guru who has already achieved 8 siddhis, he won't be able to achieve it. Because he has been asked. Like you meditate on false ego in Mahat Tattva, he will be confused. He will end up
Yeah, in the sense, guide is required in any process to do that. How to actually meditate?
Guide should be bona fide, and that too he is already achieved also.
Yeah, guide is required in any process. And then from 18th to 27th verse, in 10 verses he describes how to get the secondary siddhis. So before we go to that, like, now I want to discuss a little more in broad about the mystic powers. Because like sometimes we may think that this chapter is not relevant to me, because anyway we can't read any mystic powers. Because Krishna concludes at the end by saying, oh, the mystic powers are actually considered as impediments even by great people, the brother devotional service. So for us, you may think that, oh, anyway I'm not, it is not within my hand, so that anyway there is no problem for me, only think like that. But what do actually, if you see the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are so many verses which come in which a devotee says that I do not desire mystic powers. Like in Rupa Goswami, in the Nectar of Devotion, one chapter is that devotional service surpasses liberation. How the devotee does not desire liberation. But there are also many verses that, like in the Vritrasura's prayer, Nanaka Prishnam, Nacha Parameshtyam, Na Sarvabhomam, Na Rasadipatyam, Na Yoga Siddhir, Apunar Bhavamba. So he says, Nanaka Prishnam, I do not desire dominion over the earth planet or the lower planets or the upper planetary systems or even Satyaloka. I do not even dominion over Dhruvaloka. And then I do not desire Yoga Siddhi, the mystic powers, Apunar Bhavam, I do not desire liberation. And there are also like other verses in the prayers of the Nagapatnis. And if you remember just in the previous chapter, what does Krishna talk about the nature of Akinchana devotee?
He's not interested in material opulence.
Yeah, Mahendra Dishti, in that verse also it comes up. Na Yoga Siddhir, he does not desire the mystic powers. So in that sense, many verses which talk about how a devotee does not desire mystic power. And Krishna explains at the end of the chapter, we will read that verse, how the mystic powers are, they are impediments, and he explains that, second is that they are actually, they will be destroyed in due course of time, they are temporary in nature.
Devotees are all the time, you know,
meditating on the
personal form of the
Lord.
So, I think they might be having
mystic
siddhis without them knowing also possible.
Yeah, we are all actually sadhakas. Like,
they wouldn't know also possibly that they have siddhis.
it might be
possible.
Yeah, in the sense, yeah, sometimes. So, one is that Krishna gives the mystic siddhi to a devotee. There is a need for a service. Yeah. Doesn't unnecessarily give also.
Otherwise,
we
blocked
it. As I mentioned, it is all impediment. Krishna will not want to give something which will be impediment in his system. Unless he knows that this will be needed in a service, he will give that. He will not give that actually.
I think classic example is Hanumanji. He forgot his mystic siddhi till the time when it was required for service. Then he enlarged and he jumped to ocean. Otherwise, he had all the siddhis and he was cursed.
Yeah, Jambavan reminded him.
Even in the case of Abhishe Maharaj, I think he was given Sudarshan. So that was the facility just to ensure that.
Yeah, so if you see Abhishe Maharaj also, as he said, like, he himself may not know that I have got siddhis, you know, but all siddhis were actually came in the form of Sudarshan Chakra. to help him actually.
Yeah.
Is it possible to have a partial siddhi, not only you are practicing? And why I am saying, you know, sometimes you experience telepathy. We want to communicate something, and before using anything, the person also understands what you want. They call telepathy. But are these a partial siddhi?
Yeah, they are some inferior reflections of the main siddhis. it may be coming, it may not be coming from as a result of meditating on Krishna or something. It could be coming from certain past karma or certain
past births.
Through mechanical means.
Like a 5-year child playing an instrument like a wizard or by the expert.
Yeah, that is coming from their past karma.
So does that come into the siddhis or what?
No, in the sense, siddhis are listed here, 8 plus 10 plus 5, 23. That is certain skills a person is having. So, but what does actually mystic power represent in our day-to-day life? Because one thing we have to know, when we, like, suppose the scriptures talk about like casteism, mayavad, sahajism, or this desire for liberation. These are sometimes we feel that casteism means like previously there was so much casteism, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, like they were trying to exploit the other sections, etc. So we think that disease that was prevalent previously. But then you have to know these diseases are actually prevalent all the time. It's like common cold. It is there prevalent all the time, and some other place it may not be called by the name common cold, it will be called by a different name. So casteism may be prevalent even in ISKCON. We may be saying, he is from that guru, I am from this guru, I am from Radha Gopinath, he is from this temple. So in a way that guruism, that is also actually casteism. So Mayavad also, these are all actually, these are diseases which are prevalent all the time, which may be, it may be coming in different forms. The same way, the desire for mystic power, it is, we may not desire anima siddhi, we may not desire that, because one thing we know that we can never get that. But the desire for mystic power is reflected in some other form. So what do this mystic power actually represent in our life? Ideas, thoughts on this.
Knowledge of mystic power is required because you know that people are misleading the public first.
That topic we will take up later, but what do this like what do the mystic power represent?
You want to reach a place very fast. You know, immediately you want to reach a place. All this is like, we have desire for some kind of siddhi, We reach a place in 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever.
Okay.
Creating bullet trains and all that. What is this? It's like desire for having some siddhi.
So reach temple within 5 minutes.
That's a good point.
From mirror.
Yeah, what is your point?
Maybe you want to achieve some important position. Maybe within the devotional circle. Maybe the that position has an influence over.
That's also very important.
I mean, the merit.
Like in the Google, that's what gives you control.
Google?
You can search anything. You can say you are a controller. These three things Google can provide. So anytime Google uses that, it will give you within 0.2 seconds. That is their criteria. You cannot wait. But then only you can feel you are a controller. That's what the algorithm tries to do. And with the mobile phone and apps, you are taking the control over and over. Whatever way I can order, I can see, I can do. And they can make you feel you are the things are in your control. Whatever you want to do, you can feel like you can enjoy. There's three things what Krishna is having, bhokta and yajnata prasada. That's what Google is making.
I think very valid point.
Same with the advertising world.
Advertising world,
And after Google also do advertising with these products. That's what the company is meant for, to advertising the products. For that, they'll make you a controller enjoyer. In the meantime, they'll give you the ads.
What is your point, sir?
I forgot. Actually,
Basically, mystic powers, desire for control, as you mentioned, that wanting some particular position by in which you can control many people. desire for control is actually some of the desire for mystic power, and desire for control can be reflected through desire for a particular position or desire for getting some object by which you can control. Like nonsense, all the gadgets, electronic gadgets, it actually, like all the electronic gadgets gives you a feeling that you can actually control. The desire for nonsense, the smartphones or iPhones or whatever this one. So this is also, this actually is nothing but desire for mystic power. And I also saw a Prabhupada's quote regarding that. The Nectar of Devotion, the first chapter, Characteristics of Devotional Service, Prabhupada actually describes the eight mystic siddhis in detail. In one purport he says, after comparing all these mystic yoga siddhis to materialistic perfections, we find that the materialistic scientists try for the same perfections. So materialistic scientists are trying for the same mystic perfections. So he says, actually there is no difference between mystic perfection and materialistic perfection. So scientists, what they are trying to invent, they are trying to invent different gadgets or different machines or robots or maybe even smartphones or different devices by which you can
control
more easily, in the sense like sometimes gestures you can actually do are just are different. In that sense, they are actually endeavoring for these mystic siddhis, and our desire for anything which actually leads to control, that is represented by desire for mystic power. So the whole process of Krishna consciousness is to actually to come to the realization that Krishna is the controller, that I am not the controller. But the desire for these mystic powers, the desire for these things, which actually make you feel that you are the controller. So therefore a devotee does not desire these mystic powers. So, and Prabhupada writes in that purport, he says that a German scholar once said that so-called yogic perfections had already been achieved by the modern scientists. And so he was not concerned with them. He intelligently went to India to learn how he could understand his eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord by means of Bhakti Yoga. So basically the point here is that the desire for mystic siddhis in the present day, it is represented by desire for anything, either position or some object or a gadget or something by which you can actually control others. Control other people or other things. So, we will try to see some four or five examples from the Srimad Bhagavatam, how the devotees actually dealt with the mystic powers. So, what are the examples which come to your mind? Prithu Maharaj, yeah, second. Rishabhadev. Prahlad Maharaj, like, this answer, how?
This is Mama Prahlad.
Do not
tempt me with any.
Do not, that is in general, he said, do not tempt me with any material desires. But in reference to mystic siddhis, Prithu Maharaj, Rishabhadev, any other example?
Narad Muni? He is always using his mystic powers to go everywhere, travel.
The four Kumaras we discussed. Kardama Muni, using his mystic powers, he actually created a celestial city, nice facility.
Yayati.
But that had he just exchanged his youth, he pleaded from Shukracharya.
That is also
Vishwamitra, okay, that's from Ramayana. Yeah, these are some of the examples.
There is one yogi was meditating beneath the Yamuna and
Shaubari Muni. Yeah. That is also.
He came out and became a king and
He married the 51 daughters of King Mandata. The first example which I'll use is that we'll see what we can learn from different examples. First example is from Krishna. This comes in the 11th canto, 31st chapter. At the time of Krishna's disappearance, it is mentioned that previously, that Krishna's disappearance, he closed his eyes and fixed his mind upon himself. So, I gave one explanation. Does anybody remember? Why did he close his eyes? Why did he fix his mind upon himself?
He didn't want to be disturbed while praying. Otherwise, people would come forward to and demand something to force him over there.
When did he close his eyes?
At the time of Krishna's disappearance. So, Krishna actually closed his eyes and fixed his mind upon himself. The demigods, they wanted to actually request Krishna on the way to the planet, why don't you come to my home, Maharloka, Sarvaloka, like that. Krishna wanted to avoid all those social obligations. It's like, it's described in the Vanaprastha Ashram, a person should avoid the social obligations of going to different functions, etc. Like, it's described in the 7th canto also. So Krishna is actually, Krishna fixed his mind upon himself because at the time of death, at the time of actually when a person becomes old, one should actually fix the mind on the supreme law. In the case of Krishna, it is himself. So he is setting example for that. And also in order to practice that, you also need a particular lifestyle, a culture. So the culture which is suitable at a later age is that one should avoid the social obligations. So Krishna wanted to actually avoid all these requests by the demigods. So he just closed his eyes. But there is another meaning which is given by Jiva Goswami for the same episode. Krishna closing his eyes and fixing his mind upon himself. So he says that all the demigods represent the mystic opulences. All the demigods including Brahma, they are mystic expansions of Lord Krishna. They are mystic expansions of Lord Krishna. So Lord closed his eyes to emphasize that at the time of death, one should simply fix his mind on the Supreme Lord without attachment to one's mystic opulences. At the time of the death, because when you have these opulences, you get a feeling of controllership. You can do anything. But the time of death is something you have to completely depend on Krishna. So that is a time where you are supposed to be absolutely meditating upon Krishna, absolutely remembering upon Krishna. So at that time you have to give up your attachment to the mystic opulence. So this, in fact, this principle, if you try to little extend that principle, if you try to another aspect of the principle, it is not only at the time of death. Like, the time of death means like where in a broader level, if you see the time where you are supposed to be absolutely trying to fix your mind upon Krishna. So that is, one is at the time of death, but even in our day-to-day life, so which is the time where we are supposed to be absolutely fixing our mind on Krishna? Our chanting time. Our chanting time, our Brahma Muhurta time, our chanting time, or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So at that time, we cannot be attached to the mystic opulences. Mystic opulences, you know, what it means in our, it means actually, so chanting time, we have to actually, at least at that time, we have to give up. Keep the gadgets aside. And also, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam also. Because we may use the verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But in one sense, but but sometimes it can become distracting, like
magicians,
so class is going on, but then we are, the conversation is going, like using the gadgets, WhatsApp, other things. Huh.
Sometimes the magicians also, they do sometimes a mystic power they use.
Yeah, magicians, they may use some, they may use the magical tricks, but as I mentioned, there may be some inferior expansions of these mystic powers, because they obtained using some mechanical means. But actual, these mystic powers, the original ones, are obtained by meditating on some aspect of Krishna. So this is the first, this one. So in one sense, I would say, as Prabhupada has pointed out in the Nectar of Devotion, technology, which is materialistic perfection, that is nothing but mystic perfection. So I just want to mention few points, like a few months back, Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, he gave one Brahmachari class, and he mentioned very beautiful points, but we are aware of that, but he talked about the ill effects of technology. So he said, in Kali Yuga, technology is one of the powerful ways by which Maya spreads everywhere. It's one of the powerful ways only. Anything which happens anywhere or something, it immediately goes actually. And you remember, like, many quotes of Prabhupada just taken out of context without this one, they are actually spread in the media, etc. And then he said, technology can bring distant people come closer. But the other aspect of technology is that it creates distant people. It creates distance between people who are close. So if we see, even in the in our actually, for example, technology used in the service of Krishna. So technology is helping, like those who are not able to come for the Srimad Bhagavatam class. Either in Bombay or some people abroad. So they are able to actually hear the Srimad Bhagavatam class through, say, ISKCON Desiratory, this Radharamswami.us, all these websites, Mayapur TV. But sometimes they can also be act as an obstacle, in the sense that sometimes people think, oh, anyway I can hear from here TV. For a person, it may be possible for him to actually go and attend the class in the temple. But because this facility is there, he may deliberately avoid it, so why should I actually go? I can anyway hear from here. So in that sense, it can make actually, those who are actually close, can make them actually distant also. So, and,
Guruji, Krishna is rejecting all the siddhis as impediments. We can see there are impediments here also. WhatsApp and everything has become a headache actually. Like such a distraction. Whatever you're doing, it's like a distraction. Always comes in between. Some message. All this technology has become a distraction actually. Wait a minute. Factually it has become a
distraction. Yeah. And another point he said, it essentially makes a person passionate and self-absorbed. Technology essentially makes a person passionate and self-absorbed. Because you become restless, mind is actually always wandering, and then we are always absorbed in who was given the message, who was actually given this thing. We are not able to think about others. And then another important point is that with technology we can easily communicate, and communication creates opportunities. And opportunities make the sense objects easily available. Opportunities make the sense objects easily available. And previously, people would be satisfied to live in a particular situation because there was not much opportunities. There was not much availability of sense objects. So now, because the opportunity, technology has created more opportunity, you can order anything from any corner of the world. That actually creates a, like, it makes a person vulnerable to different temptations, etc.
The mind, make the
people dull, lazy.
Yeah.
Even जो friends से loving affairs है वो भूल जाते हैं. घर में बच्चे रोज़ में TV देखते रहते हैं. बाहर जाते थे आते हैं कोई आते हैं. They don't bother. They don't care.
हाँ.
Do you think सही नुकसान है वो?
Yeah. Actually, the thinking capacity is actually taken away. Makes people actually dull.
Without calculator, they cannot calculate anything.
हाँ.
People can contact each other very fast.
हाँ.
It's like a huge distraction actually.
हम लोग अपने दिमाग से कैलकुलेट करते हैं और बगैर कंप्यूटर के बगैर उससे दिमाग से काम करते
हैं। I was just thinking, like for example, you read the third canto, Kapila Dev section to Devahuti, Sankhya Yoga. If you see the Sankhya Yoga, the ninth chapter, that contains like very heavy philosophy actually, details of material creation. Those who have read it or those who have gone through this, it's heavy philosophy. Sometimes when people go through the such sections, they find it, when will it get over, like we are not able to see the connections, etc. But just imagine, like that Sankhya Yoga was spoken by Kapila Dev to Devahuti. But in general, it's nothing against women or something, but in general, like, generally, women are not so much inclined towards philosophy. So, they are more inclined towards stories and simple this one. And like for us, even for men, we find it difficult to read that section. For anybody, like for even what is become men, even for devotees, you find it difficult to read that section. And just imagine, but Devahuti heard that whole thing without any purports also. Just the verses. And she is completely enlightened after that whole section. So what I am trying to highlight is that the, as we see, the capacity for people to hear philosophy, that is actually that is going down as time is progressing. If you just see the topics of prerana or some one-time programs, 15-20 years back and now. Like what used to be the topics of one-time programs in Madirongal, like the 90s or 98. That time, like Gaurang Prabhu started, Maharaj gave instruction for 108 youth programs. So that time most of the topics used to be reincarnation, fact or fiction, life after death. Like that kind of topics used to be there actually. And then later the topic shifted to like stress management and time management, and then later topic shifted to like power of love, mastering the
master strokes
of life. I mean, so the topics have shifted. The reason is that why? Because the people's capacity to assimilate philosophy, that is going down. So why is it actually going down? It's basically related with the lifestyle actually.
Purity.
So one reason is that it is actually related with the lifestyle. When the lifestyle is actually making people more and more passionate, so that actually reduces the capacity of people to actually hear out. Even I was just here. Somebody was saying that even in Mayapur, the festival class is just half an hour only, actually. Not to criticize somebody, but I was saying, like, even one devotee was saying he heard Narsingh Dev class, it was only 25 minutes, class was over. The whole day there is no other class like that. Of course, they may be having some other class, but then the point is that even in a devotee community, the capacity to hear philosophy is going down, the capacity to hear more, that is going down. So one reason is that because of the lifestyle and the mode of passion, so which is actually facilitated by the technology. So we consider those schools as actually most advanced schools who give computer education right from the second standard, third standard. Like that, such schools are considered advanced, so sophisticated schools. But actually, such schools are actually very low. Because the more you deal with the machines, from the more you deal with the machines, more a person becomes dull. The capacity to the think more, the capacity to assimilate philosophy, that goes down the more a person deals with the machines. So this is something.
It's there in the first canto about the qualification, qualities of the speaker and the listener and the subject matter. And my observation is those what are spoken, that time the purity of the people and the speaker as well as the, those who are listening are very high. Now there is no purity, everything is contaminated. The mind is contaminated, everything is corrupt. The food and other things, as we have just gone through the 11th canto. See, most of the activity they are doing in the spiritual life is also not in the goodness. Either in the passion, as you have already seen. But sometimes they go to the ignorance also. And ultimately,
that anyway, that's the point is like we are trying to, we have to do what? A bit, like problems are there, but one is to understand that, like, we may use technology, but if we try to use the technology without knowing the hazard, like hazards of technology, then we may end up being used by them.
But how can you separate technology more of goodness, technology more of passion, and technology more of how do you say that?
No, the sense.
Because everything is in
free form. See, nuance actually technology. My point is that if we don't understand the actually like hazards of technology, then we may end up getting used by them. Like for example, like Bhakti Rasamad Maharaj explained that like one should not, like one can use the technology, but one should not use technology becoming fascinated by the technology. On the other hand, one should become fascinated by Krishna, and for Krishna's service, one should use technology. And for Krishna's service. And he mentioned a beautiful point. Technology is needed for preaching. Because nowadays, like the website in the temple, the temple website is more important than even the real temple. People want to know like how the temple looks like in the website. The technology is needed for preaching, but we must remember that it is not needed for our personal survival. That it should not become all pervading in our life. So one devotee asked the question when Maharaj was giving a class, like Bhaktivedanta Swami Thakur used so many modern technologies. He used to go in the ambassador car, like he used to the principal. Used so many things for preaching. Then Maharaj answered, yeah, definitely Bhaktivedanta Swami Thakur Prabhupada, they used so many modern things. But they also used, they also undertook so many projects in which there was absolutely no need of technology. Like the farm community is this one. In which they emphasize there should be minimal use of technology. We have to see that other aspect also. So he said that we may use technology, but it should not become all-pervading in our life. Should not become all-pervading. And another beautiful verse which actually related to especially mystic powers and technology, this famous verse in the first canto, Vanchitoham Maharaja Harina Bandhu Rupina Ename Apakradam Teju Deva Vismapanam Mahat. How is it related to this current topic? Anybody can tell?
What Krishna gives the power as well as service is
from
the service is performing my
pleasure. Yeah, exactly. So Arjuna is saying that now this previously I had so much of power by which I astonished the demigods of heavenly planets, but now Krishna has disappeared, all these powers have been taken away. The Prabhupada says that like powers are given to a devotee for the performance of some service. And when the mission of the Lord is over, then the powers are taken away. So the same way, so Arjuna was given so many weapons and powers. So similarly, we can say this mystic series or technology, it is needed for a particular service. When the service is over, then the powers are taken away even from a devotee like Arjuna. And especially, if you see the later verses, Arjuna, Arjuna does not lament why the powers are taken away. And what is his whole focus after that? He is actually remembering all about actually how Krishna's dealings, how by Krishna's mercy they could actually overcome so many obstacles. He remembers the intimate dealings of Krishna, the friendship of Krishna, etc. He never laments that why the powers are taken away. So this is important. That is a proof that whether we are attached to the powers or whether we are attached to the service of Krishna. Like sometimes, like for example, some devotees, their mobile phones were downgraded from smartphones to some ordinary phones. Actually, some devotees were saying actually in the ashram. So we may claim, oh, I needed the mobile phone for the service, but whether we are more attached to the mobile phone or for the service, that would be tested when the mobile phone was downgraded. So, are we lamenting because we are not able to perform that service or because we lost that weapon or this one? So, Arjuna did not lament because the powers were taken away. He was just remembering the dealings of Krishna and how actually Krishna has disappeared. So, that is another beautiful this one. By that, we can actually judge for ourselves whether we are attached to that particular tool or the object of the tool. So we'll just take a 5 minutes break and then we'll continue.
Actually, Tony, Gaurang Prabhu also said in that seminar that a time will come when Bhagavatam will be just kept and people will death just to puja Bhagavatam because people think that, hey, how can you read all this? It's like span of attention is going down so much. He told in the seminar.
Which seminar? The three-day seminar. Oh, okay.
He was telling me that the time will come and already span of attention is rapidly depleting. And you know, after 20 years, people say, the scriptures, is it for reading or what? It's just meant for scripture puja. I mean, because the span of attention is going down so rapidly. Because of WhatsApp and technology, people are so disturbed, you know. Every 5 minutes they want to look somewhere, what messages come, just that. How can they concentrate? And how can they think of, how can they ponder on the philosophy? Seriously, we have to downgrade our phone.
My phone is downgraded and so miserable I'm feeling. My phone is gone for repairs and I'm using a simple. Kabhi mera phone aayega, kabhi ho aayega.
Now it's like, just 5 years back, 2 years back, I never used to use WhatsApp. Now it's like, it has to be there, so many messages.
Actually, there is an expectation. I think Mahangopalru was saying something. When you just write a letter and reach something, the expectation is more, greater attachment towards the other person.
Yeah.
Now, when you become so familiar, transcendental attachment goes actually.
I remember very well when I went to a hostel to study. People were like, you know, Bombay se call aaya, you're dorky. Yeah, yes.
Speak in loud tones.
Speak in loud
tones.
And then maybe a fast cost is very high, you know, like 15 rupees a minute or something.
And going to the local post office to talk.
And US was 60 rupees a minute, 60. 60 rupees per minute. And people used to literally fright, you know, while talking. Fast. Speak whatever you want, you know, and finish off. That time 60 rupees was.
Yeah.
And now it's like.
I remember my brother was forcing me to buy a mobile. I said, mobile ki kya zarurat hai? I'm at home and I'm at work. These are two places where I don't live. No, you must have. No, you must have. He took me to, you know, this Hira Panna. You must have. He forcibly made me buy a phone. And after that, I got so addicted to it. And then upgrade. But then the good points are, see, we can download Bhagavatam, we can hear any, we form groups, we send messages, we talk about Krishna, send pictures.
Yeah, so I don't deny that it can be used, but we have to realize that unconsciously it's making, maybe it's conditioning us in a different way also. We have to use them without getting used by it.
Actually, I told you, my counselor is saying, you know, he doesn't have WhatsApp and he doesn't keep that. And he was telling in his class that, you know, can you control your own senses? You can't, right? And WhatsApp and all this mobile phone, there are extended senses. You're just extending your senses. You can't control your normal senses. And then you have extended senses.
But as long as you channelize them for Krishna, then it's okay. As you're talking about Krishna,
you're... But when you get distracted, many times.
Yeah, the Yukta Vairagya principle, in order to practice Yukta Vairagya, you need to have a certain connection, strong connection with you, Krishna. Yukta Vairagya is using anything in Krishna's service. For that, you need to have a certain Yukta, strong connection with Krishna, and you need to have a certain level of Vairagya. So without that, if you practice Yukta Vairagya, then we may get affected by what we are actually using it. So we'll discuss that in the Prithumara section. So another, the same Arjuna's episode. So you see, technology means, the nature of a demon is that, demon or an asura, they want to creates, they don't want to accept the controllership of the Supreme Lord, and they want to control. So technology is nonsense created by demonic mentality, because it gives a feeling that you are the controller. So anything which is produced by a demon is actually technology is nonsense. Anything which gives a feeling of controllership, that means it is produced by a demon. So in that same first canto, in that same chapter, Arjuna is recollecting one incident, how, like the incidents of Mayadhanava, like there was a demon Mayadhanava who had taken shelter in that Kandavaprastha forest, and then when Arjuna started attacking, then Mayadhanava took shelter of Arjuna, and then Arjuna said, Arjuna gave shelter to him, but then Mayadhanava wanted to render some service to Arjuna. Arjuna did not want anything. But Krishna told Mayadhanava, no, you must do some service. Why don't you build a beautiful palace for Pandavas? So Mayadhanava built a beautiful palace for the Pandavas. That palace in which Duryodhan got bewildered. So that palace was, in one sense, it was actually built by a demon, Mayadhanava. That means like the Pandavas, they were using a technology of the demon. But you see, the Pandavas were living in that palace, but they were not affected by that palace. But when Arjuna, when Duryodhana came to the palace for the first time, when he saw those mystic opulences, the way the palace was built, and he became, his envy increased so much, and after that visit he actually desired to invite the Pandavas for the gambling match, because after seeing that opponents, his envy actually increased very much. So what does it actually show is that, like, the Pandavas were living in that palace, but they were not affected by it. But Duryodhan, by seeing that palace, his envy increased even more. So what does it say is that because the Pandavas had sufficient spiritual assets, there is a verse which says that Vishoka Brahma Sampatya. Brahma Sampatti. Sampatti means wealth. Brahma Sampatti, because they had sufficient spiritual wealth, spiritual assets, so they were not affected by that technology of the Mayadhanava, though they were living with it. But because Duryodhan, he did not have any spiritual assets, when he came in contact with the technology of Mayadhanava, his envy increased even more. So that means, who can actually use this technology?
One who has
spiritual assets. One who has got spiritual assets. So he will not get affected by it. Others may get affected by it. And coming to Rishabhadev's, and of course Rishabhadev, another famous story, Rishabhadev at the end of his life, all the mystic siddhis approached Rishabhadev. And Rishabhadev actually did not accept any of them. And then Parishit Maharaj asked the question, for a self-realized person, for those who are completely pure in heart, knowledge is attained by the practice of bhakti yoga, and attachment for fruitive activities completely burned to ashes. And for such people, the powers of mystic yoga automatically arise. They do not cause distress. Then why then did Rishabhadev neglect them? So then Shukadeva Goswami says, you have actually spoken correctly. But in this world, intelligent people do not at all put faith in the unsteady mind, which is like a degraded, cunning person. So the nature of a liberated person or an advanced person is that he does not put faith in the mind. He does not consider his mind as an authority. And the first kind also Prabhupada writes, a liberated person is one who is always alert. Sometimes, like we say, my mind, I don't feel inspiring, so I don't do this. Or I don't deny that respect to our feelings, but sometimes unconsciously we are performing devotional service by accepting our mind as an authority. Because I feel good, so I do this. Because I don't feel inspiring to hear from, so I don't want to hear. So unconsciously what is happening is like we have accepted our mind as an authority. Mind is playing so many tricks.
But we are controlled by the modes, no? I mean, sattva, rajo and tamogun. So accordingly we will be inspired by something. So.
As a person, everyone has the preferences. I respect that. Everything is there. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Rupa Goswami says that one should discuss Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of like-minded devotees. He explains that. But that principle is there, but still sometimes the mind can also play a trick. That's a liberated soul. Advanced person is one who does not put his faith in the mind. So especially Vishnu Chakravarti's purport is actually something so amazing. Hear this purport. He says that intelligent persons never put faith in the mind. Why? The mind at every moment takes on a new condition. You will put faith in a person, you will trust that person who is consistent in his behavior. Who is steady. You will not actually put faith in somebody who is actually
flickering.
So becoming mind, sometimes it becomes pure and immediately it becomes impure. So therefore the degraded cunning person after showing friendship, kills the trusting person after robbing him. So after showing its purity with power not to be influenced by lust and anger, one day the mind makes the sadhaka, who has become lax in effort, to fall down by a sudden appearance of lust or anger. So mind sometimes shows purity, and then a person feels that, okay, well, I have become pure. And then he becomes a little lax in sadhana.
It is not reliable. It is not reliable.
And then at that time the mind makes the person fall down. Yeah, Sabarimali's example is given by Shukadeva Goswami. And then he says, like sometimes some low class person, he may constantly study Shastra and he may show good character and he may be trusted, but sometimes even such a person commits theft because it is his nature is difficult to give up. So similarly, though one trusts the mind which has been purified by sense control and mind control and has become fixed in hearing and meditation, the uncontrolled mind becomes absorbed in sinful object when given the opportunity and takes away discriminating knowledge.
Haranti
prasavam mana. Yeah, sometimes we may think, oh, I have become very advanced sometimes, and then later we realize we are feeling getting so many anarthas.
So how to stabilize that? Because this happens quite a lot of
times.
It's a constant struggle.
Yes. What is that? In a sense, we have to consciously put effort in sense. Sometimes it becomes a sadhana, also becomes a ritual. We have to consciously put effort. As I think Radha Gopina, we have to do mananam. Mananam means we have to reflect upon what you have heard. We simply hear, and if we don't try to reflect upon, sometimes we don't get the actual point. Reflection is important. And another example from Prithu Maharaj's episode. From Prithu Maharaj's episode, if you know that Prithu Maharaj, as I mentioned, mystic power gives a tendency for control. So I mentioned, if you have to practice Yukta Vairagya, you need to have a certain level of connection with Krishna. And you need to have a certain level of vairagya. And this both principles are exhibited in the life of Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj, at the end of his life, he retired. And when he retired from the kingdom, all the citizens were lamenting and crying that our king is actually retiring. In this world, you will hardly see that somebody is actually leaving the post or something. They are actually kicked away from that post. But Prithu Maharaj, all the citizens were lamenting. That means he deliberately gave up that. The first renunciation he exhibited is that he gave the detachment for the position of the being the king. At the right time, he gave the position, he exhibited detachment for controllership. He exhibited that vairagya. And then the verses describe the austerities which he performed. He performed such severe austerities. In the hot sun, he would be surrounded with fires. And in the cold season, he would be actually immersed in the water. Of course, those austerities are possible in Satyayuga. He was performing such severe austerities. And so all alone in the forest. It's not that some people were actually watching him or something. All alone in the forest, along with his wife. So there was nobody to, there was no impetus for some name, fame or adoration. So one thing is how much we are connected to Krishna. It is determined what we do when we are alone. how much we are connected to Krishna, Yukta, is determined what we do when we are alone. So Prithu Maharaj was performing all these austerities and fixing his mind on Krishna when he was alone in the forest. And then the mystic powers approached. So he accepted the mystic siddhi of dying at one's will. Why he accepted that? Because he wanted to quickly attain the shelter of the Supreme Lord. So therefore he approached. So basically there was an eagerness. When there is an eagerness and when there is a detachment, when there is an eagerness to render a particular service, a person may accept a particular particular facility or particular facility or a tool in order to distribute Krishna consciousness, in order to render service. But how is that eagerness tested? That eagerness is tested by what we do when we are alone. That eagerness, the connection to Krishna is tested when, like, what is our consciousness when we are alone. So that we see in the life of Prithu Maharaj. And lastly, another thing which I want to mention in regards to this mystic powers, desire for mystic powers. One thing I said, that desire for, say, position and desire for, say, this technology, etc. So desire for mystic powers. But the desire for the technology also creates one more aspect of desire for mystic powers. That is actually desire for idealism. If you see the technology, what is happening is that, like, we are getting newer and newer versions of technology almost every day. The newspaper or something, this company is launching this mobile phone, and Windows 10 is coming, and the next operating system, the next version of the software is coming. So it makes you feel you have to upgrade the phone, yeah, feeling like that. So then what is inherently it is doing is that it is making us unconsciously, we start looking for upgradation in our relationships also. Actually, this was pointed out by Devamrut Maharaj, one of the first prerinas. Now 125th prerina recently happened, I think. If he is the first prerina, revival book, or maybe this revival or conquest, one of the first prerinas, Devamrut Maharaj, he gave one of the first prerina. So he said that, I think the topic was frustrated love, a distortion of satisfaction, something like that.
Yes.
In that he mentioned, the Western civilization, what it does is that, initially, it makes people more consumerist. It gives so many varieties of objects, of toothpaste and gadgets and TVs and washing machines. If this is not working, you take some other. Something better is coming, you buy some other. So initially the consumerism attitude comes, and then the consumerism turns into hedonism. So that means, like, we start looking for better partners. So, because technology is making us look for better devices, better softwares. So then we start looking for better partners, better devices, that actually leads to actually idealism in people. But in the case of people, their human beings, they have their shortcomings, and that they have their good qualities, they have their shortcomings. Only Krishna is the only person who is free from the faults. So if we look for idealism in people, and we will be actually miserable. That leads to actually breakage of relationships. And if you see statistically, why there is so much of divorce rate among the professionals about the software promotion, professionals especially, the professionals. Because we are all the time dealing with the machines and softwares and gadgets and this one. So all the time upgrading. Unconsciously it is actually affecting us in the form of, like, we also seek idealism in people. And if you see just three examples, One is seeking idealism in the superiors. And we can see the example of Vidura. Vidura, he actually heard from Maitreya Rishi, although he knew that Maitreya Rishi was a Jnana Mishra Bhakta previously. So Uddhava actually refused to, Uddhava told Vidura that I will not speak to you. You better hear from Maitreya Rishi because he is senior to me. So if Vidura had been an idealist, if he had felt that I would hear only from an associate of the Supreme Lord, he would not have gone to Maitreya Rishi. So even in the spiritual circles also, we will find, say in our counselor or superior or something, we will find certain shortcomings and certain, because nobody, even the devotees also have the human aspect actually. So if you are an idealist, we cannot actually continue the relationship. Of course, the principle of compatibility, that is also there. Like in a marriage, or like we have to choose a compatible partner, that is also there. We have to choose, similarly the same principle applies in a guru-disciple relationship or a counselor. We have to choose a compatible whom we actually gel with. But within that principle of compatibility, still you will see that people have their shortcomings.
So we are advancing or we are at
So we will, no, every person has their shortcomings, but my point is that if you are looking for only an ideal person, so the ideal, say, counselor or ideal this thing, then we may not be, we'll have to wait for rest of eternity. Yeah, you can look for a compatible person, but you have to be aware that every person will have a certain shortcoming, certain aspect of the personality. So we cannot look for idealism in the authorities also, and we cannot look for idealism in the subordinates also. In the sense, the fact that Krishna, when he says, Apiche Sudhura Charo Bhajate Maam Ananyabhak, that shows that Krishna does not love only ideal people, he loves real people. He loves real people. And thirdly, we cannot look idealism in the equals also. The sense, among friends also, we have to accept their shortcomings. Like Indra, Prithu Maharaj Indra episode, if Prithu Maharaj had been an idealist, he would not have actually cooperated with Indra. In fact, there is a verse which says, like Prithu Maharaj, Varshatisma yata kamam parjanya iva tarpayan samudra iva durbodha sattvena achalaradiva. Like Prithu Maharaj was like Mount Meru in the fixity of his purpose. Like whatever he is determined to do, in that he was like Mount Meru. Like Prithu Maharaj had taken a sankalpa that I would perform 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. So it is described in his fixity of purpose, he was like Mount Meru, nobody can shake. But Prithu Maharaj, the fact that he stopped the performance of 100th Ashwamedha Yajna, that shows that he actually was a flexible devotee, he was not an idealist. When Brahmaji came and advised him that better you stop performing the 100th yajna, it is leading to the propagation of irreligion. So the point is that desire for mystic powers, it can mean desire for a position by which we can control others, or desire for an object by which we can control things or others, or desire for idealism or desire for perfectionism. So when you look for a perfect situation to serve, then such a situation may never come actually. So this is something I wanted to mention. So I will just quickly end this chapter. So you can read the remaining verses from 18th to 27th verse, Krishna talks about how to obtain the secondary siddhis. You can read that at your home. So basically, I don't know. So, in essence, what is explained is that you have to meditate on different aspects of Krishna's. You get there to get different, like to meditate on Lords as a Lord, as Krishna as the personification of purity and piety, the Lord of Shweta Dvipa, to get freedom from bodily disturbance. Meditate on Krishna as the personified form of sky and air, to get the ability to hear. That which is happening in a distant place, because sound it is actually transmitted through sky and air. So meditate on Krishna as the personified form of sky and air, and meditate on Krishna as existing within the combination of sun and vision. By that one will be able to see any distant thing, to see a distant thing, and meditate on Krishna. Fix the mind on Krishna and merge the body in the wind that follows the mind which is fixed on Krishna. The result will be you can actually travel at the speed of mind. So just details. And then meditate on the inconceivable mystic potency of Krishna. Then one can assume any form a person wants. And meditate on being in another body by concentrating on Krishna. So like that, basically the essential, as I mentioned, that one should meditate on different aspects of Krishna, particular qualities of Krishna, to get a particular mystic siddhi. And then 28 to 30th verse, in 3 verses, he describes how to get the inferior siddhis. So he just explains the 3 siddhis how to get, not all the 5 siddhis are not explained. And then after explaining the 30th verse, in the 31st verse, Krishna summarizes the topic. He says that a sage who worships me through yoga meditation certainly obtains in all respects the siddhis that I have described. The 32nd verse, he says that simply by meditating on the form of Krishna, one obtains all the mystic siddhis. Or simply by carrying out one of the procedures, one obtains all the mystic siddhis. So you will recite the 33rd verse. That is the important verse. Antarayan vadantyeta yunjato yogam uttamam maya sampadya manasya kalakshapana hetavah.
Learned experts in devotional service said that the mystic perfection of yoga that I have mentioned are actually impediments and are a waste of time for one who is practicing the supreme yoga by which one achieves all perfection in life directly from me.
So it's explained that learned people, Krishna is actually quoting the learned people. They say that all these are impediments or waste of time. Kalakshapana hetavaha. And then he says, the next verse, by practicing yoga, you can obtain the siddhis. Like, there are other ways to obtain these mystic siddhis. One is by birth itself, a person may obtain certain mystic siddhis. Like, fishes have the ability to swim in the water. Birds have the ability to fly. By birth, a person may obtain certain mystic siddhis. Or by herbs, or by austerities, or by chanting mantras, a person can obtain some of these siddhis. But Krishna says, by practicing devotional service, a person can obtain all these siddhis. But one cannot achieve liberation by other means. By other means, by herbs or birth or austerities, one cannot attain liberation. One cannot come back to me. And then the 35th verse, can read the 35th verse.
Yes, my dear Uddhav, I am the cause, the protector, and the lord of all mystic perfections, of the yoga system, of analytical knowledge, of pure activity, and of the community of learned Vedic teachers. Purport? You want me to read purport?
In this verse, Krishna is saying that I am the cause. He says that I am the cause, the maintainer, the master of all the siddhis of yoga system. Not only of the yoga system, of the system of Jnana Yoga, Nishkama Karma Yoga, and even of the I am the master of the searchers of Brahman, Brahma Vadina. So in that, therefore Kadyan Maharaj says that, therefore Lord Krishna through the expansion of his potencies is everything, and this simple understanding called Krishna consciousness is the supreme perfection of the yoga system. Yeah, the last verse. Aham atmantaro bahyo anavrita sarvadehina yata bhutani bhuteshu bahiranta svayam tata.
Just as the same material element exists within and outside of all material bodies, similarly, I cannot be covered by anything else. I exist within everything in the super soul and outside of everything in my all-pervading feature.
So Krishna is actually clarifies his absolute position. He exists within and outside of everything, just like material elements exist within and outside of all material elements, all material bodies. So in this way, Krishna is basically summarize this topic, summarize the chapter. Uddhava asked the question about the nature of the mystic siddhis, how those mystic siddhis can be obtained, and and also how many mystic perfections are there. So Krishna answers the question of Uddhava by telling that there are 8 primary siddhis, 10 secondary siddhis and 5 inferior siddhis, and then he explains one by one how to obtain each of these mystic siddhis. The essential point is that by meditating on different aspect of Krishna, different quality of Krishna, you actually obtain that particular mystic siddhi. So in this world you may see some people exhibiting certain material perfections, but that is actually they are obtained through mechanical means, and that is they are basically inferior reflections of these original mystic siddhis. If you have to actually get this mystic siddhis, you have to actually meditate on Krishna, different aspects of Krishna. So after explaining that, Krishna actually mentioned that how these mystic siddhis, according to the great sages, they are considered as impediments or they are a waste of time. They are a waste of time. And then Krishna said, actually, I am the cause of whatever. He explains that simply by practicing devotional service, a person can obtain all the mystic siddhis. Sometimes a person may obtain the mystic siddhis through other means, but all these can be obtained simply by practicing devotional service. But what is obtained through devotional service, the love for Krishna or going to the spiritual world, that cannot be obtained through other means. That cannot be obtained through other means. And then Krishna concludes by saying, I am the cause, the protector and lord of mystic perfection. And we discussed what do this desire for mystic siddhis represent based on taking clue from Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion. He says that mystic perfection is nothing but materialistic perfection. The scientists are working for materialistic perfection, that is nothing but same as mystic perfection. And then we discuss mystic siddhis also represent that desire for a position where we can control. So we took the examples of, what are the examples we took? The different personalities.
Desire to control.
In the different examples of dealing with the mystic powers. Prithu Maharaj. Krishna at the time of disappearance, and then Kardamuni.
Saurabh Muni.
Prithu Maharaj.
Arjuna.
Narada Muni. Arjuna, we discussed them in detail. Oh, Arjuna.
Prithu Maharaj. Rishabhdeva.
Yeah, Rishabhdeva. So I'll stop here. So next week what I'll do is that next week we'll have the class, but either I want to take one summary of whatever we have done so far. We will do maybe after the next chapter, but the next chapter is Lord's Opulence. We'll do that, and then the next week we'll have a summary to get a continuity. Or we may do next week also. Or we can do both next week. So chapter 17 onwards we are going to the next section, Varnashram system, 17 and 18. Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Krishna Prabhupada ki jai.
So you have given me one more attachment about the notes. What is that?
Some of the questions were set based on the notes.
By whom?
That is
Chaitanya
Charan. Online Bhakti Shastri course lectures were given by Chaitanya Charan Prabhu.
Chaitanya Charan.
So the notes are there in that. Because the MCQ, some questions are set based on the book, some questions are set based on the lecture note. Because it is to test whether the person is actually attending, heard the lecture. So you can.
And within couple, 3-4 days, I will send an email back to you. The clue is that the what is the shloka you have mentioned? Either the answer will be in the translation or in the question.
Or in the lecture.
Yeah, they will not have the load. They all have the audio.